97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you're all having a tremendous Wednesday down here in Las Vegas, Mountain West Conference Media Day. Looking forward to chatting with Blake Anderson. Hans, you haven't had a chance to chat with him yet, have you?
No. No, I haven't. I'm excited to catch up with him. Maybe we had a brief opportunity right out of the gates, but I don't think I've had much chance to catch up with him. When are we going to have him on?
He's going to join us in about 50 minutes from right now, okay. So about 11 o'clock.
Hey, Scotty, I was just looking down the list of active NFL players from BYU and Utah. And I was kind of surprised at this. Take a guess. Like in your mind, wouldn't you guess that there would be, what, 10, 15 more active Utah players in the NFL than BYU?
Yeah, I'd say so.
There's
that
one.
Would be my
they have one.
Really?
Well, yeah, that's what's listed. But, you know, there's so much up in the air with this, but I'll just go down the list really quick. Zane Anderson, Matt Bushman, Brady Christensen, Michael Davis, Zach Daw. You know, all these guys have to make it through camp. A lot of these guys have to make it through camp.
That's probably pushed their numbers up a little bit.
Yeah, guys like Zach Daw and Zane Anderson. Zane's got to stay healthy. I think he's an NFL player if he stays healthy. Chandon Herring, Taysom Hill, Tristan Hodge, Corbin Kaufusi, Bronson Kaufusi, Isaiah Kaufusi, Diane Lake, Harvey Longhi, Dax Milne, Kai Nakua, Micah Simon, Daniel Sorensen, Sione Takitaki, Kyrus Tonga, Kyle Van Oy, Fred Warner, Troy Warner, Chris Wilcox, Jamal Williams, Tyson Williams, and Zach Wilson. Tyson Williams signed on with Baltimore. Remember, Tyson was, one or two games and then got injured as a transfer player. But, you know, a pretty healthy list. That's 27 guys. And then Utah's got 28. Jordan Agassiva, Brian Allen, Bradley Anae, Corian Ballard, Jackson Barton, Cody Barton, Francis Bernard, Julian Blackman, Devontae Booker, Terrell Burgess, Lo-Fi Maka, Kylie Fitz. Kylie Fitz is still doing his thing.
Attaboy. Nice.
Lekki Fotu, Matt Gay, Javelin Guidry, Chase Hansen, Tyler Huntley, Jalen Johnson, Starlo Talele, Zach Moss, Jared Norris, Darren Paulo, John Penasini, Eric Rowe, Pita Tamapinu, Sam Tevi, Hunter Tedford, and Marcus Williams. So they've got a couple of guys that are going to have to make it as well. But they've got some more established players, but that's 28. I just was kind of shocked to see it was 27-28, I mean, considering the discrepancy in draft over the last 15 years.
The ability of BYU to get some guys in on the undrafted side and for those guys to stick. I mean, Daniel Sorensen's the greatest example of that. But that is surprising. I guess the question, we probably should revisit that probably week one of the NFL season when everybody's down to their 53s and see where that number's at. But, I mean, look, all you want is a chip in a chair, right? And these are guys that are going to have an opportunity to go into camp next week over the next couple of weeks and try to earn them a spot. And that's all you can really ask for.
This is who Utah State has listed, Scotty. Jalen Davis, Dominic Eberle, Kyler Fackrell, Tipa Analie, Jalen Green, Tyler Larson.
Jalen Green's still hanging in there, huh?
Yeah, with the Rams.
Good for him.
Nevin Lawson, Jordan Love, Dax Raymond, Patrick Scales, Nick Vigil, and Bobby Wagner. That's who Utah State currently has listed. So
what is that, about 12?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yep, 12.
Yeah.
Which surprises me as well, though.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Utah State and BYU would have been a little bit closer because, I mean, I guess BYU took a pretty good leap here in this last draft. So this is draft picks going back the last 14 years, including this draft. Okay, Scotty?
Yeah.
So from 2005 to 2020, Utah State has 15 drafted. BYU, because of this last draft, has 21. And Utah has 52 in that period of time.
Yeah.
Just to give people an idea of where the three D1 FBS schools stand. So Utah State took a little bit of a step back. I'm excited to see if Coach Anderson can kind of re-gear this and get Utah State going for a bit. Because they're, for about a five-year stretch, I think they were right on par with BYU.
Yeah, they went toe-to-toe there with BYU for sure. And that's, you know, the thing is, and, you know, back to the Bobby Wagner and the Fred Warner conversation, it's not as if, look, BYU's got a great reputation across the country in college football, but they're not Alabama, you know, and they're not Clemson. And certainly Utah State isn't at that level. But when you take a step back and realize your two highest paid inside linebackers are from Utah State and BYU, you realize if you're good, they'll find you. And if you're, you know, if you're a really good player, you're going to get an opportunity and you're going to get drafted regardless of what school you went to. And so with the NIL and with all this other stuff going on, you can go to college, you can make a little bit of money. And if you're good, they'll find you. And that's got to be the recruiting pitch of all these schools right now. You don't have to go to Alabama to get drafted. Now, apparently, if you want to make $1 million, you can go to Alabama and be a quarterback. We'll touch on that coming up, I'm sure, a little bit later on the show. But it's, you know, it's pretty interesting how, you know, I was reading a story from somebody at SEC Media Day. I can't remember which coach that thought, you know what, with the way the landscape of college football is right now, you can go pretty much anywhere. The scouts are going to find you wherever you're at. And, I mean, hell, the Broncos drafted some guy that was, you know, knocking trees down in a forest playing for a Division III school. Mm-hmm. And they drafted him in, like, the third round. Like, if you're good, they'll find you, and you've got an opportunity to be successful.
Yeah. So that actually brings up another conversation of how quick do you want to pull the trigger on a transfer as opposed to staying in that system and continuing to wait for your time and your rotation? Maybe it only is maybe your junior year. Maybe you only get 2 years at the start. I only started for 2.5 years. I ended up starting halfway through my sophomore season and got my junior and senior year as a starter. But I was told that I would probably start as a true freshman. And then when I got there, I'm like, yeah, not a chance. Not a chance. I had a lot of growing I had to do.
And you realized that. You didn't fight against it. You understood.
I knew instantly
what it looked like.
Yeah, I knew within the first 2 weeks of being on campus. You know, I met guys like Harlan IU and Henry Bloomfield and Darren Yancey and Byron Frisch and Ed Kuehl. And I met those guys, and I'm like, no, what are we talking about? They'd be starting. They're like, these guys are beasts. And so I kind of took my position as, all right, well, I'll just bide my time. I'm going to work my butt off and see if I can get on the field to start. And nowadays, that kids aren't doing that. They're transferring and trying to go to a different school to try to get that starting position. But I'm going down this list, and I'm looking at guys that they weren't starters. You know, some of these guys were young. Brady Christensen, they discovered him pretty quick. But some of these guys, not so much. You know, some of these guys had to grind. Tristan Hodge, he ended up transferring and then grinding and then dealt with injuries and dealt with a terrible bout of pneumonia, if I remember right.
Yeah, yeah.
That kept him out in the 2020 season. A lot of these guys just worked their butts off, including Dax Milne, who I guess he did come in as a true freshman, but he didn't. He was a non-scholarship guy.
Yeah, he was a walk-on guy.
He was a walk-on guy. Cal Vanoy kind of started throughout. I'm trying to find other guys that started all the way through. But it just goes to show, you know, if you got to really think through the process of transferring instead of, well, I'm gonna make my name here. And in 2 years, when, just for the sake of conversation, in 2 years, when Matt Bushman graduates, or in 2 years when Fred Warner graduates, then I get my time, and be patient. And then when you get your time, you're going to have to really shine, because as Scotty just mentioned, what you need is you just need to be recognized. And if you got talent and you get some film, you'll be recognized, and you'll get your shot. But you also got to show some patience. I had to show some patience. I had to bite my tongue. Time and time and time again, I had to bite my tongue until I finally got my shot. And I was playing defensive end, Scotty, when I finally got my start. They put me at defensive end, which I actually liked. I liked playing D end. It was fun. It's a little more difficult because you've got more absolute responsibilities that are critical.
When you went there, was your plan to play D tackle and then they slid you to D end? Or
yeah, well, yeah, my plan was to play D tackle, and they were dealing with some issues to contain. We ran a real simple 4-3 front, and there were some contained problems, and so I got my opportunity and had a blast with it. And I loved playing defensive end, but I felt more limited at defensive end, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, you think of defensive end, you're like, oh, that guy's probably having a blast out there. But when you're just a big, bulky defensive end, I was more Jan Jorgensen than I was so I'm trying to think of a great rush in that has full freedoms, Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah. Or they just say, pin your ear back and get after him.
Yeah, get him a two-way go and make an outside linebacker cover two responsibilities and just let a defensive end with great rushing talent go do his work. Michael Strahan was a really good rush defensive end. But Strahan was an all-around defensive end. He could hold the edge as well.
Yeah. But you get like a guy like Vaughn, who's, you know, technically, depending on the scheme, labeled as a linebacker, but I mean, he's got his hand in the ground and he's going around the edge and he's just trying to bring the quarterback down.
Yeah, there are people covering for Von Miller for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's people that are covering responsibilities because he puts himself at risk. But what's incredible with Von Miller's ability is he can hit an inside spin, or he could take an initial inside step to that B gap, and he can still recover to the flat because of his speed. So he could give up his outside shoulder on the block, but he can still fight through that block to cover the edge on contain, which is not typical of a human being. Like there just aren't many human beings that have the ability to do that. But Von Miller, he is special at that. I mean, how many times have you seen him, Scotty, where he dips inside on maybe a slap rip inside move, a hard inside pass rush, and bends and bows back to the outside to shut down a quarterback sprint out or, you know, some type of pitch. He does it often. He's incredible with it.
Pretty scary, too, what you see what he can do.
He is
so good.
Some
of those guys with that kind of size and that kind of speed there's a reason why those guys get paid very, very well. Yeah, there's no doubt. So I look at it from, you know, when we talk about players coming from the state of Utah, I think state's in a pretty healthy place right now. Like, I think that there's some guys that are certainly Justin Rice for Utah State, I think, is a very draftable player coming into next year's NFL draft. I think, obviously, Devin Lloyd, and there's going to be a host of Utes that are going to go get their money, as they should. So I anticipate next year the NFL draft is going to be very, very kind to the state of Utah once again.
Well, absolutely. And just to think about this, Scotty, that's 55 active NFL players between BYU and Utah that we're going to be watching. Now, as you mentioned, I 100% agree with you. I would love to be able to pull format and see after cut downs what that list looks like, because my guess is Matt Bushman will be put on the practice squad because he's still recovering. I don't know if he's going to be ready and recovered, but I don't know, Lloyd, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that the Raiders are dying in need of tight ends right now. I think they've got one of the best in the NFL, and I think that they've got a stable of two others that can rotate in there. But guys like Zach Daw, it's just going to take the right moment and right situation for Zach Daw to make it. Same with a guy like Chandon Herring. Even for Tyson Williams to make it for another year be tough for Kai Nakua. So that's one thing. When we get there, let's do that. Let's take a look at active players after roster cutdowns. I'd be interested to see where we stand.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, as camps get underway here in just a few weeks. NFL training camps, Hans, get underway next week. I know you're not a huge fan of those, but it's the part of the summer where it's like, hey, you know what? It's go time now.
Ooh, so it is. It's go time. And all these guys we just mentioned, people think that the NFL players have this glamorous life and it's all fun and it's all money and it's just all excitement. And I'll tell you right now, for 85% of the names that I just listed, maybe 90% of the names I just listed, it's all insecurity. That's where it is. It's just all insecurity. It's wondering, well, who did they just draft in my position? And how good is that guy? And why did they take him in the first round? And they know I'm a starter here, or they know I'm the backup here, and they just took these two guys in the first three rounds in my position. Yeah. You know, I remember when I first got to Indianapolis, I remember bumping into a couple of the current players, and I go to introduce myself, and they know exactly who I am. they know exactly who I am because I am to them competition.
Yes.
I am to them a potential $500,000 cut for them. Like, these guys, it's all insecurity. It's all the unknown. It's, I hope I put enough work into this offseason, and I hope my body stays healthy, and I also know what the grind is for NFL NFL camp. I will tell you, things are completely different. The NFLPA has gotten so many restrictions placed on.
Yeah, they've really gotten involved in that.
NFL camps. Yeah.
Cleaning things up, for sure.
Completely different than when I was there. But still, Scotty, they are in a complete world of insecurity right now.
Hans and Scotty, 1124. You're listening to 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You're going to hear from Blake Anderson coming up at 11 o'clock, 1130. Craig Thompson will join us as well. It's all right here on – actually, excuse me, at 12 o'clock. I'm getting confused with my time zones. 12 o'clock for Blake Anderson, 1230 for Craig Thompson, and a host of other coaches as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your day. Good, the bad, the ugly is always brought to you by good friends at Zero Res. Get those carpets clean, $33 per room. Call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376.
Lloyd, hit it.
It's now time for Watching the Watch List with Hans Olsen and Scott Girard.
We good, Lloyd?
I don't know.
We are good.
Luckily, I turned off the mic, but it started. Shh. Yeah.
Lloyd's freaking out back here. Are you okay?
There was a guy over here that was talking. I told him to shh.
Oh, okay. You were hushing him?
Yeah.
This one's a big one, Scotty.
Because we all wanted to hear the watch list. Don't want any noise covering that up.
This one's a big one.
All right.
Tyler Allgeier has been named to the Doak Walker Award watch list. Yeah.
With every other running back in the country?
No, there are only 80 running backs. Why are you laughing, man?
There's 120 teams in college football.
He's the only running back on the Doak Walker Award watch list in the state.
He's the only one from BYU, I know.
Okay, well, that's good. Surprised Katoa's not on there, but whatever.
Oh, come on.
Scotty, come on, man.
Bryce Katoa. Oh, my gosh. Tyler Allgeier racked up 1,200 yards last year. He also added, I think it was 13 touchdowns. And he put up some really good numbers. BYU has not had a Doak Walker Award winner since 2001.
See, that matters. See, that is the important one, winning it. The watch list doesn't matter that much.
Where were you? What were you doing in 2001? Were you covering sports at all, or were you hitting the post?
I was still a student at Utah State hitting the post.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of wondered what, you know, the coverage of Luke Staley was like back in the day.
Not quite that old. Close, but not quite.
Not quite there.
But I'll bet you he was on the watch list.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Going into that season?
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
As well as 80 other running backs across the country.
Okay, so, Scotty, I'm going to drill some holes in your hate the watch list comments. Can you win the award without being on the initial watch list?
No, because they have every running back on the watch list, so it's literally impossible for you not to be on there.
So it's kind of important to be on the list, actually.
You got to be on the list.
Is what you're saying.
Got to be on the list to win the award, for sure.
So if you're not on the list, then you probably will not win it.
Hey, speaking of, so you're at Mount
West. You said 80 running backs, right?
Yeah, 76 to be exact.
Okay, well, all right. Well, let's be exact here. So 65% of all running backs in the country, starting running backs, there might be some multiples on the same team, but not many. So you got 65% of available running backs are on the Doak Walker watch list.
All with a chance to win it.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That's a wide net they're casting right there.
Well, they just don't want to miss. They don't want to miss anything.
That's Wouldn't that sure. be a bummer if some guy just blew it up and he wasn't on the watch list? So he didn't win it?
I would love for that guy to get that award. Like, and you know what? For all of you out there that didn't put me on the watch list, this is for you, and raises the middle finger. That drove me to be who I am today is because of you.
There's got to be some that weren't on the watch list that want to, because you get true freshmen that come in. Like if fair was fair last year and it was a 12-game season and Ty Jordan would have had a full slate, Ty, by the end of that season, his name would have had to be as incredible as that young man was. He had to have been in the conversation.
Got to be on the watch list, man.
Or otherwise, you don't get the recognition. Otherwise
you don't get the recognition.
Yeah.
It's important.
Well, that's why we do this. That's why we watch these watch lists so closely.
Hey, by the way, Hans.
Yeah.
I don't know if we don't really talk about this on the air, but you need to check your text message because there's another good that just happened.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. Hey, by the way, Scotty, that's awesome. Good for him. Who was picked preseason Mount West Conference Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year?
Hold on a second. Let me pull up the email here real quick.
Because that's picked the same time that.
I don't think they picked I don't think they picked players. I think they just picked the rankings.
Oh, okay. I always thought that they did preseason.
They do usually. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a sec here. Nope. They have not, unless there's something else that they're going to announce later. But as of right now, this morning, they just announced the preseason rankings.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
And maybe ask around and see if you can figure out why they opted out of that.
I'll see what's going on.
Maybe they're not building a watch list anymore.
That would be good for everybody.
Doak Walker Award winner Tyler Allgeier.
Whoa.
Keep your eye on him.
Watch list, Tyler Allgeier. And nobody will be more fired up for Tyler Allgeier if he wins the award. But
you'll hate on it. No,
Doak Walker, Tyler Allgeier with every other running back in college football. Everybody will be watching him.
So we don't overdo it. We'll just do the watch list, and we won't mention who wins it. Hey, don't want to overdo it.
Hey, all joking aside, Tyler Allgeier, I mean, he was good. He was good. I'm expecting him to have a good year this year. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, the end all be all at the running back position. I think he's really good, and I think that BYU can really lean on him. But as you mentioned, there's a couple of other guys there that are earning and deserve reps. You can't just bury Katoa. Katoa needs reps. And Allgeier definitely has to carry the load, and he's going to be good. I just don't know if he's going to win that Doak Walker like the watch list says he will.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. This is such a stupid story. It's apparently Coach Sanders to you, or no Sanders for Deion Sanders. Jackson State head coach allegedly shut down interviews Tuesday after reporters referred to him as simply Deion. It was a bizarre scene at the SWAC Media Day in Birmingham, Alabama. Clarion Ledger claimed Sanders went off when one of its writers, Nick Suss, for calling the coach by his first name. He said, "You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. If you call me, if you call Nick, you're going to get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick," even though he just called him Nick.
Treat me like Nick.
The Clarion Ledger says when the football coach is referred to Deion a second time during the interview, he stormed out of the event. It's an ugly situation. Now, there are some out there that believe the Clarion Ledger just reported on a story on a recruit that Jackson State's starting to bring in that was arrested on domestic violence, and were told that they would revoke all access to the newspaper for reporting on that story. And the Clarion Ledger believes that what happened yesterday is to give them an excuse to deny access to that newspaper because of that story. So there's a little underbelly to this thing as well, that the two incidents might be combined together. But they did go back yesterday. I think it was, I can't remember who's the guy that joins our show quite a bit, but he went back, Dennis Dodd went back and to SEC Media Day and counted up that there were eight times that reporters called Nick Saban Nick, and Nick did not cuss any of them out.
Yeah, that's a joke. That whole thing's a joke. Now, Scotty, you know me. Like, even when we have Kalani Sitake on the show, I call him Coach.
Yep, I try to as well.
Yeah, and he's a former teammate of mine, a very, very close friend of mine. Obviously, we played together for 3 years and graduated together. But I call him Coach out of respect. I do the same with Aaron Roderick. I was teammates with Aaron. I call him Coach because it's not because they want me to. It's because I believe that they deserve that amount of respect. And, you know, I do want to address them kind of professionally. I try to address coaches professionally as much as I can. But there are times in an interview where, you know, when you're either resetting who you're talking to or, you know, you want to casually reset who you're talking to without stopping the show and being like here on 1280 The Zone talking with Craig Bohl, even though we haven't done that in the past, you know, however you want to reset it. It's just, so Craig, we're just doing this, this, and this, and, you know, I try to give a hint. But for the most part, I try to call him Coach. I just don't think that if I'm a coach, I don't take that personal. I'm not storming out of a media session because of it. And I don't know if I've ever seen a coach storm out of a media session before.
Not that I can think of. There's no reason to get sensitive about that. There really isn't.
There isn't. And look, if anybody had the right to get sensitive, Quinn Snyder, the head coach of the Jazz, gets called Q all the time. Or he gets called Quinn in interviews. And it drives me nuts. I'm like, geez, man, put some respect on the guy. It's Coach. Call him Coach. Just call him Coach. It's not Q. It's not Quinn. It's Coach. You know, when I interview those guys, it's Coach because they deserve some respect. I try to do that as much as I can.
And they've earned that respect. I believe that as well. But I also think that if you're a coach and somebody says that, then I wouldn't get upset about it.
No.
But you're right. You and I go out of our way to say, you know, I'll introduce the head coach at, Jackson State. Deion Sanders joins us right now. Coach, how are you? You know?
Yep.
And you go, hey, Coach. I mean, that's how we do it.
I will say there are some beat writers, you know, with the Jazz that are very close. They travel around the team, and they're in front of that coach every day. And maybe Coach Quinn Snyder wants these guys to call him Q, and that's great. If that's the case, that's fine. If he wants them to call him Quinn or call him Q, and they feel friendly enough with each other, that's great. All the better. I'm not in that position, and so I don't want to act like I know what those guys know or what they think or what Quinn has told them to call him. I don't want to act like that because those guys put a lot of work in and they travel and they're there every day. So maybe they are on that level with him. But I still think, with all that said, it's still ridiculous. If I'm sitting there interviewing Deion Sanders and I call him Deion and he's like, hey, man. You wouldn't address Nick that way. You address me that way. Well, now I'm just going to call you Deion because you're a jerk. And I'm just doing my job. So, Deion, what is your team going to look like this year? Do you want some coverage, Deion? If you want some coverage, just shut your mouth. You're Deion to me. Like, he's not going to earn respect doing this.
And as a coach, you're not in the same stratosphere as Nick Saban. So.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, you haven't gotten that, bud.
And that's the other thing, too. It's like, well, let's be honest. You're not Coach Saban. So maybe you should calm down because you haven't earned a millimeter of the respect that Nick Saban. And look, I'm not bow and kiss the ring of Nick Saban guy, but come on, let's not compare coaching careers here.
You've earned the player side of it. I'll give you that. You earned that respect. But the coach side of it, you haven't done anything.
It's like you call me Hall of Famer, Deion Sanders.
Coach Hall of Famer.
You call me Pro Bowler, Deion Sanders.
Ridiculous.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, this one was cracking me up, Scotty. The Mets announcer, his name's Gary Cohen. He was right in the middle of the broadcast with the Mets and the Reds. And they're there in Cincinnati. And they were showing images of Cincinnati chili. And Gary Cohen went off.
This is the local delicacy known as Skyline Chili. The five-way with the spaghetti and the beans and the cheese.
Five-way.
First, the disgusting chili gravy.
And what do you put on
the onions?
Do you put some mustard or something on
that? Wait a second. After the onions comes the cheese, and that's what makes it the five-way. Here we go, is the cheese. They put like 10 tons of shredded cheese on there, and this is supposed to be food that you actually eat.
Now, does the cheese melt, or is that
Ronnie, have you ever had Skyline chili?
I have not.
I would recommend...
Not having it, or...?
Well, no, you need to try everything once.
Okay,
right?
All right.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Try it once, and then you'll never eat it again.
I saw the video, and I've seen the Cincinnati chili thing. It does look really disgusting.
Oh, man, Scotty, I love Skyline Chili more than you will ever know.
Really?
I love Skyline Chili.
Where did you get this stuff at?
So I've been to Cincinnati a couple times, playing the Bengals twice. I took a when I was coming out of college as a senior, they brought me into Cincinnati for a – you know, just kind of a like to walk around the facilities and to get to know me. And then they ran me through a medical check. And so I was there for about 4 days with that.
And then they ran some chili through you.
And then and they're like, what exactly happened to you? I'm like, that's Skyline. Well, I'm telling you, so I've had Skyline probably four, maybe five times. It is phenomenal. It's delicious. I didn't do it on the noodles because, as you saw, that was on the pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do it on the dogs. So they do pasta or dogs.
I love me a chili cheese dog. I'm not going to lie. I do.
See, that's the thing. A chili cheese dog, it's the noodles that kind of gross me out in the whole thing.
Well, I've done the noodles, and it was great. It was fine. But to me, it was the Skyline dogs that were unbelievable. And I did it the five-way. So with the five-way with the dog, they do a steam dog. So they pull it either out of hot dog water or it's just a steaming machine, and they throw it in a pretty soft bun. And then I do it the five-way, just like that guy was talking about, where they throw the beans on, and then they hit it with that Skyline chili, and then they hit it with the chopped onion, and they hit it with the cheese. And I can't remember if they do like a side of sour cream or exactly how it worked. But I'm telling you, this guy is way off with the Skyline chili. It is a must if you're in Cincinnati. Get the dogs, get five of them, and he was making fun of the way they pile the cheddar up. No, the cheddar doesn't melt. It sits on top, but it's lightly grated cheddar, and it's soft, and it's creamy, and it melts into that Skyline chili, and it's so good.
Just give me some Nellies.
Okay. I am drooling.
Okay. Well, for a guy that hates Waffle House, that sounds like a very Waffle House-ish
right.
dish right there.
Don't you come at me like that.
No, I'm just, that sounds like, that sounds like an abomination that would come out of the Waffle House.
Well, let me tell you, Skyline Chili isn't exactly making athletes. And you, you know, I did pay for, I paid for it for the next few days. It's, you don't forget about Skyline Chili for a good 4 or 5 days after eating Skyline Chili. It's,
talk about, I'm reckoning to drop a bomb here. That's, or blow this place up. That's,
I'm fixing to blow this place
there
up.
There you go. Fixing to blow this place up.
Oh, man, Scotty. I wish you, me, and Lloyd were sitting down to a Skyline Chili bar right now with five chili cheese dogs in front of us five-way and just happy with a big old Diet Coke or Coke Zero. And it's so delicious. I am hankering for it now. And Gary Cohn is way off on this one.
Hands and Scotty, Whole World News coming up next, and then you're going to hear from Blake Anderson coming up in about 15 minutes from right now, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
And to think that as far as Joe, I'm largely responsible. I may not win any awards, Dave, but it gives me a sense of great pride knowing, yeah, I don't feed the naked, but in a sense, I've helped facilitate a connection. So I can feel good about it, you know, a little bit. Not quite like you, but I think I can feel good about it.
You're not feeding the hungry, but you are entertaining the bored. So there's that. There's somebody stuck in traffic, stressed, the weather's bad, you know.
So what do?
You entertain the bored.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
We've got the whole world in our
hands. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, 1150. Blake Anderson will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll get to whole world news here in a moment, but right now, Lloyd, it is a Wednesday. You know what that means.
This is your chance to win tickets.
Win.
It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now at 855-340-ZONE.
Woo!
And you'll win tickets right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is a good one here. Dirk Bentley brings his Beers on Me tour to USANA Amphitheater August 13th with special guests Riley Green and Parker McCollum. Tickets available right now at LiveNation.com. This is all brought to you by Live Nation, and caller number 12 right now will get tickets, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE.
All right, Scotty, I want to take you to a little town in Massachusetts called Hingham. This is Hingham, Massachusetts. And this is a 19-year-old girl who is driving a 2014 Audi Q7 at 6:35 in the morning, drinking a Frappa Mocha Latte from McDonald's while she's trying to put her eyeliner on. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, squirrel jumps right in the middle of the road. She swerves to miss the squirrel and drives her car into a cottage, a home that was built in 1650. By Abraham Lincoln's great-great-grandpa.
No. Oh, no.
She's okay, and that's why, you know, I can joke about this and laugh about it a little bit. She's okay, but her car literally plowed right through the front part of this cottage and ended up in the antique living room. It blew through a wall that held a it was an antique bookcase shelf, and it had all these antique books on it. And it hit that wall and blew that bookshelf all over the place.
Oh, man. And really?
Yeah, knocked over a dining table from that same era sometime in the 1600s. And it's destroyed the cottage. Now, the people that own and operate this cottage, and they do live in it part-time, say that they're going to rebuild it. But, yeah, she did drive her car right through Abraham Lincoln's great-great-grandpa's cottage from 1650.
That's old.
That's way old.
Oh, man. That's so old.
Could you imagine driving through in that? I mean, you miss this little squirrel. That little squirrel gets to, you know, eat some nuts another day, and that's good for him.
I'm just saying, no squirrel is worth that.
Okay. Hold on.
Cat swerve, dog swerve.
Just not a squirrel?
Squirrel, no. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Blake Anderson joins us next right here on The Zone Sports Network.